We will call upon the name above all names, Jesus, who will answer us and show us great and mighty things. We will submit and surrender, Lord. Oh, I pray tonight, Lord, help us come to the end of ourselves as we repent for every word, thought, and deed, selfish ambition, works of the flesh, touching agreement with the voice of the stranger, unfulfilled vows, Lord. Lord, we repent for every sin, transgression, iniquity. In Jesus' mighty name, wash our spirit, soul, body, and flesh, our members, our gates, with the blood of Christ. Bring healing to your people. Touch us, heal us, free us. Let the anointing of your power break every yoke of bondage, setting the prisoners free. Take our heart tonight, Master, and exchange it for the heart of Christ. Let your kingdom be manifested in us and through us. And let your perfect will be manifested as we exalt you. Jesus, we love you. We welcome you. Yeah. Thank you, Master. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, see, you can just feel the presence of God here. You lift your hands. That's your Father, the one who loves you. Glory. This is where chains begin to fall. This is where bodies begin to get healed. This is where you step out in faith and say, thank you. Thank you for freeing me from me. Thank you for freeing me from the entanglements and affairs of this world. Thank you. Thank you. He says, pray while he may be found. Seek him while he may be found. Jesus. Jesus. The name that's above all names and all sickness, diseases, and fears, and every demon. The name that every power of darkness must bow to. The name that sets the captives free. The name where oppression runs. The name where poverty, deception is exposed. The name that opens the gates of heaven. The name that opens the windows of opportunity. The name that opens the gates of his heart. Oh, that we be a willing spirit. That we be a willing spirit. Shed your flesh tonight. Shed yourself. Come out of yourself tonight. And bow before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Your Creator, your Master, your friend, your healer and your deliverer. We bow before you, Master. We submit to your ways and your wills. We commit our works to you, my Lord. Show us, teach us, establish us, and perfect us that you would be glorified in every area of our life. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah! Lord, we want to say thank you for woo. Windows of opportunity, W-O-O. Woo, woo, I don't care what you say. Just don't whoops, right? We want to thank you for windows of opportunity. And Lord, grant us revelation and impartation that we may maintain windows of opportunity. Would you turn to Malachi chapter 3? Malachi chapter 3. Is everybody there? In Malachi chapter 3, in verse 6, Malachi 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not what? Oh, isn't that nice that he doesn't change? Thank you, Lord, that you don't change. And because he doesn't change, we're not supposed to change an area of giving up on what he says. So if what he says never changes, we're holding on to something that allows you to change. Does everybody get it? Does everybody understand that? See, because when you hold on to the promises of God, you change. But see, if you let go of the promises of God, guess what? You go back the way you were. See, so the more you hold on to the promises of God, the more you change like him. Isn't that our ultimate goal, is to be more and more like him? In verse 6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? You have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? He said, in tithes and offerings. In which way? Tithes and offerings. He said, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not what? Open for you the windows of opportunity, or the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Does everybody see this? See, so many times, to maintain that window of opportunity, when God begins to open a window of opportunity, people, you know, one of the things the enemy starts to do is to cause compromise. Where people no longer, they stop tithing. They stop doing offerings. Then what they do is, now let me share something with you that's really important, because this is powerful. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to bring it into the storehouse. You know what the storehouse is? Whatever fellowship you're attached to. You're not attached to a TV fellowship. You're not attached to, is everybody with me? To your neighbor. You know, some people will give money to their neighbor and say, well, I just tithe. No, that's incorrect. Does everybody get it? You're to bring your tithes and offerings to the house of God to receive the blessing. That's how windows of opportunity open. And that's how windows of opportunity are maintained. Does everybody understand that? See, so the thing is that sometimes people get blessed with something, then they begin to change course and begin to bring money to other soil, when God is saying, wait a minute, I've planted this soil for you to keep the window of opportunity open, and now you're planting my seed into another soil, I'll shut that window. Are you listening? See, what we want to do is begin to learn how to maintain the open window when the window of opportunity has been opened. Now listen, this is important. He says, now, when you're planting the seeds, right? As you're continuing to plant the seed, there's something that has to happen. It has to be watered, doesn't it? The Bible says one plants, one waters, and God does the what? Increase. It's the same thing. As you're continuing to plant, you're continuing to water. In other words, you're keeping the flow going. You know, sometimes people will change things. A bill will come up or something will come up and they'll put the bill before the tithe. You know what you just did? Slammed that window. You know how many vows we've made and commitments and so forth, especially with finances and the kingdom and certain vows that you've made with the kingdom? When you're not fulfilling them, the windows begin to shut and people begin to struggle. And then they try to go force open a window somewhere, and the enemy will come with a deceptive window, open it up, and he'll steal more from you. So we've got to use wisdom, don't we? We've got to have the discernment to know what's what. Think about how many times people have, there's a lot of believers in the body of Christ that refuse to tithe. Well, it's just not a biblical thing anymore. It is a spiritual law. And spiritual laws and obeying spiritual laws will keep the windows of opportunity open. The Bible tells us to give of our first increase. Give. The word says give and be given back to you, right? Good measure, pressed down, running over. So this is where he says, test me on this, that I won't open the windows of opportunity. Sometimes you got to plant a seed or additional seed to get a window open or to maintain. So you want to keep it flowing to maintain the window being open. Now, I'm not going to pass a bucket around because this is not what it's about. What the Spirit is saying, these are things that should be understood by each and every one. When you get a raise, you give more. You know how many times people get blessed by somebody? They get blessed by finances from someone or something, and you know what they do? They pocket it. They inherit something. Well, that's mine. Let me tell you, you don't tithe or offer off of that, that window will shut. These are spiritual laws of obedience to the Spirit. These are spiritual laws of obedience to the Spirit. That's a key. These are spiritual laws of obedience to the Spirit. Why? That's how he's going to keep the window open for you. In Romans 8, these are spiritual laws of obedience to the Spirit. That's why you must be disciplined, right? You know, the only reason why money becomes a factor in it is because there's a spirit there that's trying to steal something. And when we become in agreement with it, he's trying to shut the door in your life. Are you listening? That's what it's all about. There are people waiting for jobs. There are people waiting for all kinds of... They're waiting for doors, windows of opportunity to open. They're waiting for these windows of opportunity. Let me tell you, if you are not obedient to the laws of the Spirit, the windows of opportunity will begin to shut. So we want to maintain these windows of opportunity so that they stay open. In Romans 8, is everybody there? In verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh. Praise God. But according to the Spirit. So if you're walking according to the flesh, can a window shut? Yes, that's what he's saying. Listen, if you're relying on you, if you're not submitting to the obedience of the spiritual laws of the Spirit, windows of opportunity will begin to shut in your life. I have seen people who were healthy become sick. I have seen people who got healed and got sick again. Why? Because you will go backwards instead of forward. In verse 2, read it with me. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the what? Righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what? Spirit. So for these things to be fulfilled, you must be walking according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. If you walk according to the flesh, you're not submitting to the spiritual laws. If you're walking according to the flesh, you are submitting to the laws of sin and death. And those things will shut the windows of opportunity in your life. We must maintain a walk of faith in the Spirit to keep the windows open, not flesh. The Bible says, he who sows to his flesh reaps what? Corruption. You know what happens? The devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. How does he do that sometimes? He shuts a window so you can't get the flow no more. Then you struggle in the flesh. I mean, something could be so beautiful, something happened and powerful, and all of a sudden, something happens. You respond or you react according to the flesh, and bam, it shuts. And let me tell you something. If you don't fix that right away in the area of repent and submit, you'll find more and more windows of opportunity shut all around you to where you are destitute. and tormented. Is everybody okay? Listen, we are in a new season. This isn't a time to give up. This is a time to get in position. Because one of the things the enemy wants to do is constantly get us out of position, doesn't he? You know, I just want to share something in the area of plans. People like to make plans. Your plans better be according to the Spirit, not yours. Because why? You make plans according to your way, and you're not following according to the plans of the Spirit, windows will begin to shut. But I'll tell you what, more windows will open if you're willing to do it His way and not your own. See, what happens when you get in the flesh, you become survival mode. Fear. Survival. I need. And you'll lack because you're always in need. And instead of being led, you'll be misled. And windows will begin to shut. Is everybody okay? Go to James 1. Oh, we want to keep these windows open. Hey, you know what? There was something very powerful because Jesus was obedient unto what? Death. And guess what? The greatest window opened so that you and I could have salvation. He was obedient unto death, and that's how He wants us to be. Obedient. Obedience to the spiritual laws of the Spirit. In James chapter 1, is everybody there? In verse 12, would you read it? Everybody say blessed. Okay, if you're blessed, is there an open window? Yeah, man, there's a woo. Some of us got woo, 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 woo. Some of us got a little whoop. Whoops. In verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. So what's the one that doesn't? Curse. A curse will bring a shut window. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So you must endure temptation. Are you listening? You can't allow temptation to mislead you because a window of opportunity will shut that has just been provided for you. You know, it could be a lifeline to you that you just allowed to shut because you accepted temptation. So we must endure all temptations so we are not moved out of position or lose focus. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Read it with me. You therefore must what? Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In other words, you must warfare. You must warfare. Listen, if the Bible says blesses him who endures temptation, it means you're fighting. You must warfare. You will not, that window will not stay open. The devil is out to shut every window of opportunity in your life. The Bible says make no place for the devil. He does not want flow to come to you. Whether it be prosperity, healing, revelation, freedom. He's going to try to shut everything from God that is flowing to you. That's his job. So you must endure. You must endure hardship. As a soldier, what's a soldier do? Sleep all day? Grumble and complain? Is a soldier a weenie, a wimp? No, he's a fighter. Does he discourage or encourage? Do you understand this? This is powerful right now. We gotta get this, or windows will begin to get shut. Let's go a little further. In verse 4, it says what? No one engaged in what? So you got to be in warfare, don't you? Entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he what? Competes according to the rules, which are the spiritual laws of obedience to the Spirit. These are spiritual laws of obedience to the Spirit. This is how you keep windows open, or they will begin to shut. In 1 Kings 19. Yeah, see, the devil's being exposed tonight. So you can kick him out of your... Kick them, run, throw them out the window, okay? 1 Kings 19. In 1 Kings 19, in verse 19. Are you hearing or listening? First Kings 19, verse 19. And Elijah departed from there and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. What's 12 mean? Anybody remember? Divine order. Has everybody got it? I want you to know that opportunity comes to individuals in divine order. Windows open in divine order. When you're out of divine order, windows begin to shut. 12 means governmental divine order. Is everybody with me? Divine order is number 12. So we see here Elijah was plowing with 12 oxen. Why? Because he was in divine order. And what happened to him? A window of opportunity come. Elijah the prophet came and called him, didn't he? Watch this. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. In other words, window of opportunity. Whoa. And he left, and now listen, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my mommy and daddy, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again? What have I done to you? Come on, don't you realize that a window of opportunity just opened to you? Ding! You know, the light went off. He went, ooh, you're right, and I'm not going to let this one go. This is a window of opportunity. And what happened? So Elijah turned back from him, took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them, and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. What did he do? He submitted under the window of opportunity that opened to him. So he had to fight now, didn't he? He had to fight and stay in position. All right, now watch what happens here. Go to 2 Kings 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. So Elijah had to forsake, now listen, his dependence on physical abilities to keep the window open. See, so many times we try to keep a window open in the flesh, don't we? And it shuts. The only way the window stays open is by submitting to the spiritual laws of obedience to the Spirit, or it will shut. In 2 Kings chapter 2, is everybody there? Start at verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me unto Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not what? Leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Shut up. Or keep silent. What was he doing? He was resisting temptation, wasn't he? What were they trying to put on him? Fear. And it happened in three locations. But see, Elisha knew that the window of opportunity was open, and he wasn't going to let anything get in the way until he got the blessing from that window that opened. Are you listening? See, there is a fullness of a blessing from every window. And so many times, only a partial blessing will come out, and then the devil will deceive and cause someone into temptation, works in the flesh, and then that window shuts, and they only got a partial blessing. Now, Elijah had to forsake his dependence on physical abilities and keep the window open. He also had to resist the temptations of fear and oppression. Fear and what? Oppression. Fear and oppression will shut windows of opportunity, because actually what they'll actually do is cause you to walk away from them. Are you listening? See, we must become faithful stewards, protecting the anointing that God has given us. Why? Because that anointing is directions connected to that window. See, the anointing is connected. They're the directions connected to that window so that you know what to do to maintain that window. Are you listening? Or what's coming out of that window of opportunity. So we must be faithful what? Stewards. You must be faithful. It's just like anything that God blesses you with. It was a window of opportunity that something happened, somebody blessed you with something, then you got to maintain it, don't you? If somebody blesses you with a car or whatever, you got to maintain it to keep that window open so that it keeps running. So that it keeps what? Running. If you're not willing to maintain it, then it's going to end up and it's going to shut, isn't it? But see, if you keep it running, when it's time for that car to give up, or you're going to bless someone with it, that window will stay open to where you get blessed with one before you have to bless it. Are you understanding that? See, these things will start. See, when you're staying in position in a window of opportunity and you're still working and you have a job, what will happen is another window of opportunity will come because you've been faithful. And that window of opportunity is still flowing because you're learning how to flow with it. You're being obedient. You're not grumbling and complaining. You're staying in position and God will promote you. He won't demote you. Are you listening? What happens is people get moved out of position so easy because it isn't done according to their way. Then they stop submitting to the spiritual laws of obedience to the Spirit, and that window shuts. Then they become beggars. Go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. In verse 8. We're going to get this tonight. The enemy is going to be exposed. And God's going to open a window. As long as you're willing to stay in position and fight. In verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is what? No want to those who what? Why? Because the windows are open. Does everybody get this? Because the windows are what? Let me tell you what will maintain your position is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord will assist you in your position. Once an individual loses the fear of the Lord, they go astray. The fear of the Lord is to be maintained in your life, no matter what the cost. When you sense something that's going to begin to move the fear of the Lord from you, you back up. I don't care if you have to lock yourself in your room until the fear of the Lord comes back on you. Or you'll be eaten. And the windows of opportunity will be shut. There's no want to those who fear him. In verse 10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack what? Any good thing. Why? Because the windows of opportunity are open. You're maintaining those windows. And now let me share something with you. Because in this, just because one window of opportunity is open does not mean that others won't. There'll be more there. And then while one window of opportunity is flowing, God will begin to open more. You'll have a constant flow through one window of opportunity. And it'll begin to more open more of them. If you're faithful. And if you're a faithful steward. And if you're being submissive to the spiritual laws of obedience to the Spirit.
go to verse 11. Are you ready? Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is a man that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? What's he say? Keep your what? Keep your lips from flapping. Keep your tongue from what? Evil. Is grumbling and complaining evil? Amen. So this is one of the major keys that will shut a door. Grumbling, complaining, gossip, slander. All of these things will shut a door. It says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and what? Pursue it. You must maintain the fear of the Lord by protecting your tongue from evil lies and deception. If that's the difference between someone that wants to be instead of willing to be. There's a lot of wannabes. Oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to love you, Lord. I want to obey you, Lord. I want to. You got to stop being a want to be because you'll always lack. When you're willing to be, you will prosper. Does everybody get it? Windows open to those who are willing, not to those who want. Why? Because they're maintaining the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3. You know, we need windows of opportunity open more and more and more right now. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. You know, it's unfortunate that many of the righteous is given their wealth to the wicked. Why? Because they're not in position. They're not submitting to the spiritual laws of obedience to the Spirit. They're submitting to the spirit, to the laws of flesh. They're not enduring temptations. They're being led astray. They're walking. Now listen, they're walking in assumption and not walking by faith. What did I say to you? Proverbs 3? Is everybody there in verse 27? Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I'll give it when you have it with you. In other words, it's your responsibility to share the blessings of the windows of opportunity. When they are opened, it will keep flowing as long as you are giving glory to God. Does everybody understand this? See, when God begins to open the windows of opportunity, your focus is, okay, how can I expand the kingdom of God? Not what I can go buy today. Or not what I need. Lord, what do you want me to do with this window of opportunity? What do you want me to do with this finances? What do you want me to do with this car? What do you want me to do with this job? What do you want me to do with it? See, if your first focus is on what can I do for me or my family, then you're in the flesh. But my family needs it. Man, you're in the flesh and you're deceived. And that window's about to shut and everything that you got through that window will be stolen from you. Why? Because you haven't been giving it back to the Lord yet. Everything that God blesses you with, you give back to Him. What do you want me to do with this, Lord? Not do I need more clothes? Do I need this? Do I need that? What do you want me to do with it, Lord? Are you getting this? Why? Because the purpose of that window to be open is for you to expand and help expand the kingdom of God and bring glory to His name. If you're focusing in that arena instead of yourself, you'll find that window will stay open and it'll keep flowing and feeding right through that same window. Are you getting this? Or that window will shut. Psalm 15. Psalm 15. The Bible tells us that we have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. And anointing will guide you to all truth. And anointing will teach you. So, you know what you must do? Protect the anointing. Because the anointing will actually keep the window open. And I'm not saying that sometimes God shuts the window because He has a bigger word for you. But there's a time when God will keep a specific window open and flowing and flowing and flowing. And while that's flowing, He'll open up another one. And then that begins to flow. and begins to flow and things begin to happen. And then he'll say, come on, I want you to open up another one. Or sometimes he'll just open one up to bless you even more. And next thing you know, all kinds of windows are open around you. Then things are just flowing. And there is increase, there's revelation, there's visitation, there's impartations. There's all kinds of things that are flowing from the throne room of God now. And all of a sudden, treasures start coming in certain areas. Things start coming. All of a sudden, miracles start happening. Yeah, things are getting free. People that you've been praying for all of a sudden are getting saved. Prayers being answered. These are all windows of opportunity that where things are flowing through. That healing you were waiting for comes. All of these things begin to flow through. So there's an area where you must protect the anointing that God has placed on you. Because you cannot keep that window open in the flesh. It is done in the spirit. Through the anointing. Without the anointing, we're stinky religion. We're prideful and arrogant, self-centered, and self-righteous. Verse 1. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle, and who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks what? Uprightly. And works righteousness. And what? Speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall what? Never be moved. This psalm right here will protect the anointing. It'll protect the anointing. Do you understand that? Let's go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, I truly believe that I was directed by the Spirit in this, in the area that he said to me, this Spirit in 2 Timothy chapter 3 is penetrating my body and I want it exposed. It's called a self-righteous spirit. And it is a destroyer of open windows. Come on, read it with me, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Are we in the last days? Yeah. For men will be lovers of what? Themselves. Lovers of money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying its power, and from such people turn away. Why? Because they are carrying that spirit. It is a self-righteous spirit. He said, for this sort of those, these are spirits, who creep into households and make captives of gullible women or disciples or students, members of the body of Christ. They not only creep into households, they'll creep into ministries, they'll creep into anywhere. Anywhere where there's an open window in an individual's life or surrounding areas where people have open windows of opportunity, that spirit is looking to have access so that windows can be shut. His whole focus and purpose is to shut the flow of God in an individual's life. Why? So then God's will can't be manifested. For this sort are those who creep into ministries and households and make captives of gullible individuals, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so that these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. In other words, they don't walk by faith. Everything must be tangible to them. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifested to all, as theirs also was. This is a self-righteous spirit. Now I'm going to share a little bit about the self-righteous spirit. The self-righteous spirit worships the tree of life, but eats the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to repeat that. It worships the tree of life, but it actually eats of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because it comes and agree with it. But it will sit there and it will worship the tree of life, but it eats from the other tree. It manifests its own right of way with self-justification and bypassing authority. I'll say it again. It manifests its own right of way with self-justification and bypassing authority and divine order. It carries a form of godliness. It worships the tree of life, but eats of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It manifests its own right of way with self-justification in bypassing authority and divine order, carrying a form of godliness. It brings division, strife, division and strife, and plants eggs of vipers. With eyes of deceit, wanting their own works to be recognized. Wanting their own works to be recognized by others for approval. While discouraging and misleading others to shut the true open window of opportunity. I'm going to repeat that again. They bring division, strife, and they are planters of eggs of vipers. They have eyes of deceit, wanting their works to be recognized by others for approval. In other words, they're self-righteous. While discouraging and misleading others to the true window of opportunity. They take counsel out of their own dictates of their heart. Unwilling to admit their faults and turn away, they are destroyers of windows of opportunity. Stay away from them. You'll discern that spirit by its fruit. They love to judge others, but offended when they're judged. They're quick to accuse and slow to repent. They can't see out of the eyes of the Lord. They only see out of their selfish eyes. That is a self-righteous spirit. And he is penetrating the body of Christ to destroy windows of opportunity. Are you with me? Go to Judges 16. Judges 16. I'm sure you've all recognized this spirit at some time. You looked in the mirror and realized it was there. Every one of us has picked up a self-righteous spirit now and then. But you got to kick its butt, man. You got to get him out of there. Or he eats you up and shut every window of opportunity. Next thing you know, you become a vagabond. You can't justify with this thing. You must expose it. Are you listening? Judges 16 and verse 16. When it's taking you captive, you usually don't recognize it. You're too busy fighting in the flesh to prove you're right. Why, the windows of opportunity are being shut behind you and nothing's beginning to flow. You're busy fighting in the flesh and blaming everybody for everything that's happening in your life now. Well, if you would have done this, and if this job would have, and then if this boss, and if that. It's a self-righteous spirit. Judges 16:16. Would you read it with me? And it came to pass. Oh, this is about Delilah and Samson. Now, Samson was a Nazarite. God blessed him with the anointing. I'm telling you, he had an anointing to expand the kingdom of God, to rescue the Israelites from the Philistines. He was anointed. He was born with it. But the Lord said, there's something between me and you. Never let anybody cut your hair. And he got hooked up with actually more than one woman. But he got hooked up with Delilah, and he was out of divine order. But he was expecting the anointing to still be there and that window to continue to flow. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Well, when Delilah saw that he had told her all of his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lured him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before. I will go out as what? Before. He was relying on the anointing. At other times, and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. He shared the secret of maintaining the anointing in his life. He became self-righteous, thinking that God would be with him and do whatever while he was doing things not according to divine order. He gave the pearls that God had given him to swine, and the window shut. Does everybody see this? The window what? Shut. Remember, the window of the open windows of opportunity are not just for you to receive, but for you to expand. See, he was only looking at himself now. He carried the goosebumps and all the other things associated with the anointing. But he was actually eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and not the tree of life. Is everybody okay? Go to 2 Kings chapter 4. Self-righteous spirit that has penetrated the body of Christ must be exposed and removed, or the windows will begin to shut. This is about maintaining open windows of opportunity. Is everybody understanding this? In 2 Kings chapter 4, and starting at verse 1. 2 Kings 4 verse 1. And I'm going to close in this verse. Yes, miracles do happen. We're going to keep this window open while it's flowing. Praise God, y'all woke up now, didn't you? I lied. No, I did not. No, I did not. No, I did not. You kidding? I'm not going to shut no window. Aren't you glad we're not religious? 2 Kings chapter 4, start at verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." Do you see what happens when windows are shut? Wow. So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you?" Ah, the Lord knew her. He always sends a rescue. There's a window of opportunity. The anointing came. See, you can't look at the man. The anointing came to do what? To open the window. Why? Because why was she struggling? Because her husband, who was the prophet, was carrying the anointing. When he died, what happened? The anointing that kept open the windows to flow was gone. Are you listening? Thank God we're in the New Testament now. But in the Old Testament, it was tough, man. In verse 2, so Elijah said to her, "What shall I do for you?" What? The anointing spoke. "Tell me what to do. What do you have in the house?" Ah, he was bringing her wisdom. What do you mean, what do I have in the house? What can I? Come on, the anointing can change anything. It can take something and turn it into great. It can take nothing and turn it into something. And that something can be turned into something great. Are you listening? He said, "What do you got?" Why? He knew that whatever he touched was going to prosper. "What do you have? Anything, what do you have?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." She got one jar of oil. And he said to her, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all of your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." Now, wait a minute. She only had one jar. She only had one itsy bitsy vessel. And she went out to all of her neighbors. And let me share something with you. It was a famine. So there was plenty of empty vessels. So whatever they could carry in their pockets, in their mouth, under their arms, whatever they could grab, whatever they can hold. Hur and her two sons went out and grabbed a bunch of vessels. It doesn't say how many, but there was a bunch of them. And they brought them all in, shut the door, and took the one vessel of oil, the one jar of oil, and began to pour according to what the anointing said to do. Why? Because it was an window of opportunity. In verse 5, so she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Does everybody see this? Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live all of your days on the rest." Do you get this? Live on the rest. They had a bunch of oil. Not only did they have a bunch of oil for them to live on, but they were about to retire because of the oil that they were going to sell, because there was a famine. But a window of opportunity opened, and the anointing spoke. Do you understand? That's why we must be in divine order. We must submit under the spiritual laws of obedience to the Spirit. Not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because the anointing will speak. That window of opportunity will open. And we talked about windows of opportunity and how to open them. That vortex that opens. But now we want to maintain that window of opportunity. Do you understand that? And it will keep flowing, flowing, and flowing. And when God says this window is shut, there'll be plenty to get you to the next window. Are you listening? Did she obey? She didn't question anything, did she? He just said, what do you have in the house? Well, I only have a jar of oil. Good enough. Well, I only have a jar of peanut butter. Good enough. Let's open up a plant called Planters. You know? See, when the anointing speaks, the window opens, the flow comes as long as you're submissive and obedient to it and stay in divine order and not get in the flesh. Stop leaning on your own understanding. Let the anointing speak, obey it. And you'll find things begin to flow. You know, sometimes you're spending more time working instead of praying. If you'll get up and pray more instead of being more getting ready for work, you might find a window open. And then when that window opens, you better be faithful. You better be a faithful steward or that window will shut and you'll have to go around that cycle till God can trust you to get another open window. Hello? Does anybody understand? Maintaining a window. Let me tell you, when you say something, you better do it. Or that window will shut also. Unfulfilled vows. How many times did you say you were going to do something and didn't do it? How many times did you say, listen, I'll meet you there at such and such a time and don't go? You bring a curse on yourself unless you repent. And eventually a window will shut. Oh, I don't get it, man. What do you mean? I just thought I've been obedient. I've been tithing. I've been doing this. You've been lying. What do you mean I've been lying? Well, you said you were going to do something and didn't do it. Well, the Lord knows my heart. Right, that's why a window shut. That's why you got to work twice as many hours now. That's why you got to go out and beg for jobs. That's why you got to do this. And you got to, do y'all get this? You got to remember, the devil is a legalist. He's looking for every open door to get to you. That what comes out of your mouth, it's written. Your tongue will open or shut windows. They'll close them so quick. You grumble, complain, bam. That means you're ungrateful. Hello? That means you're what? Ungrateful. And when the Lord opens the door and begins to bless you, and you begin to grumble and complain, you begin to hoard money, you begin to rob God, believe me, that window will shut and you'll be exposed. Is everybody okay? Because what you sow is what you what? Reap. You'll reap. The Lord is opening windows of opportunity. It is the season. We've got to stop playing games and maintain the fear of the Lord. You can't just be nonchalant about things that come out of your mouth and commitments you make and don't fulfill them. Are you listening? Well, you know, something happened. So what? Something happened. Did you repent? Well, no. Well, you know how long it took you to repent? That's how much you'll reap. That might be how long it's going to take for a window to open. The devil's looking to come to steal, kill, and destroy. Isn't he? Well, quit inviting him. Don't give him an invitation. Keep the windows of opportunity open by your obedience to the spiritual laws of the Spirit. Stay in divine order, in divine position. Why? And begin to discern that self-righteous spirit that will enter. He'll bring oppression. Come on, we've all struggled with it at some time. But you got to get rid of it. You can't let it run your life and make you a couch potato. And you'll be a woe is me. And every window around you will shut. You've got to fight. This is no time to lay down. Waiting on God doesn't mean go to bed. Waiting on God doesn't mean don't go to work. No worky, no eaty. Does everybody get, well, I'm waiting on God. Well, I think I'll watch some, you know. That's not waiting on God. Waiting on God, while you're waiting on God, you're working. You're laboring. You're laboring unto the Lord. You're doing something. You're sowing. You're watering. Does everybody get it? You're waiting on God. You're enduring. Windows of opportunity are going to be tremendous all over. God is opening the floodgates to get the wealth of the wicked to the righteous. But you can't lean on your own understanding. It's got to stop. You must allow the anointing to speak and to obey. Amen? Is everybody okay? Maintaining the windows of opportunity. It is an honor and a blessing. We can't become men pleasers. We must become God pleasers. We must hold on to the truth and promises of the Lord, walking by faith and maintaining the open windows. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. We ask you to continue to give us revelation and discernment. Lord, we repent for agreeing with any selfish or self-righteous spirit. Lord, we sever ourselves from every emotional attachment with these spirits of greed, love of money, selfishness, and self-righteousness. Lord, we forgive and bless those who persecute us and use us and speak against us. And we ask, Father, that you continue to grant us open windows of opportunity that we may see, obey, and flow in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.